Come on, can we give God a shout this morning? That was huge, man. Come on. Hallelujah. Yes. How amazing is it that we all get together as one church, man? How powerful it is. And I'm telling you what, man, I needed a refreshing this morning. The Bible says that in His presence, you are refreshed. And gang, I tell you what, I needed the body this morning. I'm good, man. Thanks, so I appreciate it. I asked you for it. Don't need it, man. We're rolling. Awesome. But listen, seriously, man, I needed to be refreshed this morning. And there is, the Bible says in Acts 3:19 that, man, in the presence of the Lord, you are refreshed. And, man, that is powerful, powerful to know that when we cry out to God, man, He hears us and He acknowledges and then He comes. And the Bible says that where will my help come from? But it comes from the Lord. And, gang, when we understand that, there is a rest and there is a peace. No matter what circumstance, situation, no matter what storm of life, when we truly come to a place that I will lift my eyes up and we look to the Lord, that is where my help comes from. That is God's promise, man. That is just amazing. Come on. If you could turn with me this morning two places. All right, we're turning to two places. We are in a series on the parables, greatest stories ever told from the greatest master teacher of all, Jesus Christ, who is the Son of God. And it is amazing. How about, I mean, I'm just in worship this morning and I'm just declaring I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. He is my Abba Father and I am His child, and all the promises and all the guarantees that come with, man, just in that alone, man, I was ready to come out of my shoes and be like, I belong, wow, God, Creator, I belong to You. I'm a child of God. I belong to Him. Gang, that is amazing. Come on, give Him praise again. That's just good news. Come on. Man, I love it. Getting everybody together gets me all juiced up. Come on, man. Turn me to two places, please. We are in Matthew 5, Ephesians 5. Matthew 5 and Ephesians 5. And man, that's awesome. Let's just ask God to bless it. God, thank You for Your word. It is alive and powerful, God. It is light to us. Jesus, thank You for what You've said. God, thank You for the Gospels, for the good news. Jesus, thank You for Your teaching that we may know You on such a deeper level. Father, we ask that You would open our eyes to see what we need to see in this place this morning. God, You open our ears to hear from You. God, that You have the ability by Your word and through Your spirit to speak directly into our lives today, God. Just give us a word from You. Father, we need to hear from You today. God, they don't need to hear from me. God, they need to hear from You. God, by Your word, through Your spirit, God, that You would move in a place, in a heart in this place this morning, God. Speak to us, please. That our heart would be open to respond to what You say. And folks, I ask that You would ask God, God, speak to me today. God, I'm here on purpose. Father, I ask that You would speak to me. In Jesus' name.
Yes.
Amen. Last week we started this and we talked about the parable of the sower, the seed, and the soil, and how fitting it is, and even in the rain. Yeah, and I'm in prayer this morning. I'm at the church bright and early, and I'm just praying and seeking God. And I'm getting excited, rain or shine. I'm getting more and more excited as the time draws near. Because honestly, in prayer, man, what was on my heart is just as we just preached last week, the sower, the seed, and the soil. What was on my heart, Sean, the seed can't grow unless it rains. I mean, this is like legit, like the seed can't grow on dry soil. And listen, when we understand what it is, even in the importance of rain and growing and bearing fruit, gang, this is what we want from Believer's Chapel. We want Believer's Chapel, those who really call this place home, those who are ready to go deep in the Word of God, that you would grow so deep in your foundation of truth that, man, there's nothing that's going to shake you. And in your roots, you continue to grow deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper, and your soil becomes so fertilized and ready that, man, no matter what takes place, just as we covered last week, the winds and the storms, man, you will stand unshaken because you are so founded on God's Word. Gang, that is where we're at. And I just want to finish this up because this is what it says in Luke 8. I want to close out last week and bring it in to where we're going this week. Please just listen to this. This is what it says, Luke 8:15. But the seed in good soil, and then we're going to get right over to Matthew 5. The seed in good soil, these are the ones who have heard the word, honest and good heart, hold it fast, bear fruit with perseverance. Now look at this. These are the ones who bear fruit, folks. We are supposed to bear fruit. We are supposed to take the word, hold it fast, stand our ground, and the believer whose the word has fallen on good soil is to bear fruit. Now this is what verse 16 says. This is amazing. This is right after what Jesus said. He goes right into another picture, another word picture, a parable. Now, no one, after lighting a lamp, he just talks about the good soil. He just talks about that seed that took root, that it may grow. And he says, in that, look what he says, no one, after lighting a lamp, covers it with a container or puts it under a bed, but he puts it on a lampstand so that those who come in may see the light. Right after he says, for those who are of good soil, there's something that takes place that you become a light. And in that light, you're not supposed to put it under a basket. You're not supposed to hide it. You're not supposed to put it in a container. There's a purpose for light, folks, and it is to shine bright. Now look at this, Matthew 5, we're right back here. This is what, again, this is a story that Jesus is telling, and it's talking about salt and light. Chapter 5, verse 13 says this, you are the salt of the earth, but if the salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It's no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. For you are the light of the world. The city on a hill cannot be hidden. Nor does anyone, here it is again, verse 15. Nor does anyone light a lamp, put it under a basket, put it on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before man in such a way that may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven. Now get this. This is an amazing picture. This is Jesus speaking to disciples as well as a large crowd. And he brings out this amazing picture of salt and light. And when he's preaching to this crowd, the crowd recognizes the importance of salt. When Jesus, this master teacher, gives them a word picture of who they are. Please, man, if you got your Bibles, you got a pen, highlight that. You are the salt. You are the light. This isn't something you do.
Amen.
Please hear this. This isn't something that you do. This is something that you are. And this is Jesus. He's giving this crowd and his disciples this amazing word picture of salt. And in this day, there were many who considered the sun that shines and brings everything to life, was first importance, and salt was so important to man at this day that it was second to the sun, because they couldn't preserve anything without salt, folks. This is how important it was. It was used as money. It was used in trade. It was highly valuable. And Jesus says, you are salt. That's what Jesus said. You are of that place of value. And he comes to it when he recognizes the value of salt. Look what it says. Look at this. Come on. Verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if salt has become tasteless, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out, trampled underfoot by men. Gang, do you understand that what he's referencing here is corruption? He's referencing here sin. He's referencing here decay. Because what salt does, listen, you look at meat, and when meat begins to spoil, you can put salt on the meat and it doesn't cure the meat. It doesn't make spoiled meat unspoiled, but what it does is it stops the decay, so no longer the meat can decay. And he says, listen, this is the church. This is to you and I, the ones who have confessed that Christ is Lord, the one who have called on the name of Jesus for salvation, that he says this in this parable, greatest stories ever told from the master teacher. He says, listen, the church, my followers, the one who have declared me as Lord and as King, you are that which is to stop the decay. Folks, listen, when you understand this, you recognize, man, I have a purpose, and my purpose is to stop decay. There is deterioration. There is going to be corruption. And when you understand, man, the church, get this now, please hear this, the church is to get in the way of corruption. The church is to stop the decay of sin and the world. And when you come to a place to see this, folks, when you understand that he says, listen, unless it maintains its taste, if it becomes tasteless, it's worthless. And listen, you and I, as the Church of Jesus Christ, we are called to be useful. That's what he's saying. You are supposed to be useful. And in that usefulness, you are called to stop decay and stop the corruption and be the salt of the earth. Listen, since Adam and Eve, man, when they blew it, sin entered the world. And ever since then, there was corruption. You're not going to cure that. Jesus is the only cure for that. And we know that. But he's called the church, you and I, as the salt to stop the corruption. Now listen, when he says, listen, when it becomes tasteless and then it becomes useless, you just throw it away. How is the only way that salt becomes tasteless and useless and no longer good for anything is when salt becomes contaminated. The only time salt becomes useless, folks, is when it becomes contaminated with other things. In the Christian's life, folks, listen, we are to walk in such a way and understand our function and our purpose as the church. As Jesus is speaking this to his disciples in a large crowd, he says, you are to walk without contamination. when you allow sin and decay and corruption into you. Listen, when we understand that God is holy and He's calling us to be holy, listen, that doesn't mean perfect, but that means that we are to understand and recognize sin and corruption and do everything we... No longer, man, that's not coming into my world. That's not coming into my house. I recognize that as sin. God, forgive me of my sin. And you come to a place to recognize, I'm not going to blend in with corruption. I'm not going to blend in with sin, because then that corrupts me and then that contaminates me, then I'm no longer useful. And this is a serious word that Jesus is speaking here. This is a powerful word to the church. Listen, He says, this is your purpose, church. This is why you're here. It's to understand what it is. You can't cure the corruption. Jesus did that. But you, as the church, can put a stop to corruption. That you come to a place to stand in the way of its spread. Husbands, do you stand in the way of a spread of corruption in your home? No, sin's not coming in my home. Enemy's not going to do it. He's not going to come into my place. He's not coming into my kids. He's not coming into my marriage. And you, as salt, you stop and you come to a place, say, you're not coming in. I'm stopped. And you understand, this is what Jesus is saying, man. That's purpose right there. Purpose is to get in the way of sin. Gang, where are you in this? Please hear this, man. Where are you in this? You see sin knocking and you just let it right by? You see the condition of this world and you just say, huh? You come to a place, as Psalm 97:10 says, is to love God and to hate evil. And you look at the corruption and you look at the sin and you say, what are we going to do about it? How many times do we ask that? What is going on? Well, how can it be so bad? What is going on? Well, listen, please hear this. If the church of Christ here on the earth, we come to a place to recognize that He's already told us how. You are the salt of the earth. You are the agents that I left. The church has been left to stop and get in the way of corruption. And we are to stand in a place to get in the way of corruption and sin. And this is what Jesus has called the church for. Man, this is what Jesus has said to you and I. 2 Timothy 3:13. And when you begin to see this and recognize this, but evil men and apostles will proceed from bad to worse, deceiving and being deceived. Gang, listen, the Bible tells us it's just going to get worse. The Bible tells us, man, evil days are coming. I mean, Jesus makes this abundantly clear in His teaching that it will continuously get worse. Evil will continually grow, but it is up to you and I to come to a place to do our part and the purpose of the church to say it is not going to spread past. Man, we are going to stand in the way. Isn't it amazing that God left us, the church, in the place to stop decay so it just doesn't run rampant? You think that the enemy wants decay to just run rampant throughout the earth? And Jesus says, my plan for that is the church. Do you understand that? God's plan to stop decay from taking place all over the earth is for the church to take its rightful place as salt. Where, listen, the church can't become contaminated with sin. The church can't come to a place to be corrupted and blend right in with the world. Then we're just useless and we become contaminated, and then we come to a place to just be as good as being thrown out. This is what Jesus speaks. This is huge, folks. This is huge word to the church. As your purpose is to be salt, and your purpose is to stand your ground and stand in the way of sin and corruption so it doesn't continuously be widespread. Man, what an amazing place for the church. Gang, let me ask you a question. How are you doing in this? Do you see sin today and say, well, it's okay? Do you look at sin today? Gang, listen, please hear this. Man, we are on a place here in this church. Please get this, man, get this. We're on a place in this church to reach as many people as we possibly can reach for the glory of God. We're on mission in this church to reach as many marriages to function in a place of love and respect, to raise up godly teenagers that are going to slam their schools, slam the people and their influence, that they would be the ones who are influencing the rest. We're on a mission in this church to do everything we possibly can do to rearrange and change this region for the glory of God. And the church is to stand its ground, to be in the place to say, listen, that is sin and that's contaminating and that is corruption and it's not coming in here. Can we give God praise for that, please? Come on, Believers Chapel. Yes. Yes. Hallelujah. Man, we look at this and the second half of this is this. He says, you are the light of the world. He says, you are salt. That's your purpose. Do you understand that the church can have such incredible impact? Do you understand what they did in Acts? The impact that a few had all throughout in the book of Acts? They just had serious impact. When you understand the church can have such influence and such impact that Jesus said, you are the light to the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Listen, you're not supposed to take that light and put it under a basket. You're not supposed to. Who would do that, folks? Who would light a light and then put a blanket over it and say, hey, great. Wow, what a great purpose this is. What great impact this has on this dark room. Jesus says the same thing. You're not, hello, duh. You are light and light is to shine bright. So much so, this is what he says to the church. The church is so much to be such a light that it is to be a city that Jesus Christ, we just sung it today, man, I am redeemed. I have been paid for. I have been bought back. And in that, the fruit of that, when the Spirit of God comes in me, there's love and there's joy and there's peace and there's patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And we come to a place to recognize that's who I am. That's my new fruit. That's what belongs to me. And we walk into a place once hurting, broken, desperate, and lonely. And now we come to a place full of love, joy, and peace. And gang, when we see this, we begin to recognize the impact and the influence, the church that Christ called us to this. Amen. Is that you are to be a light to the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Does anyone light a lamp and put it under a basket? But he puts it on a lampstand and it gives light to all who are in the house. All who are in the house. And I want you to see this because all of us who've come to know Christ once walked in darkness. Now we come to a place to be in His light. And when we see this, Philippians 2 says this. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach, in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation among whom you... Now get it, look at this, watch. Whom you appear as lights to the world. So that you will prove yourselves to be blameless, innocent, children of God, above reproach. Here it is, man. We can't be contaminated. We're not going to walk around and accept sin. Listen, yes, at times we can walk in sin. We come to God and say, God, man, this is sin. Forgive me. And I know that you are just. And I know that you are faithful. And I know that you will cleanse me of all of my unrighteousness. And God, and then, but we come to a place that I'm not just going to blind eye to sin. It's not okay. He says this. Listen, this is who you're supposed to be. You're supposed to be blameless. You're supposed to be innocent children of God who are above reproach in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation. And then, isn't it amazing that the darker it gets, the little light shines brighter and brighter and brighter. And in this crooked and perverse generation, what's the position of the church? To appear as lights to the world. Folks, I hope you understand that there's no secret agents in Jesus. We're not undercover for Christ. Please hear this. Listen, when I worked the undercover for the police force, I didn't want anyone to know me. I didn't want anyone to see me. I hid in shadows. I hid on rooftops. I hid in trees. I hid in trunks. I hid in cars. I didn't want anybody to see me, and it was on purpose. That's not what Jesus says about you and I. Jesus says there is no hiding. There's no secret agents in my kingdom, on my team. Jesus said, listen, so many people say, well, this thing between me and Jesus is just this private relationship that I don't want anyone to know about. But that's really not what Jesus said. Jesus said, your relationship with me is supposed to be so such a bright light in darkness that it brings other people to the truth of who I am, that in that they can walk in a place of salvation and understand what it is to be redeemed and bought back by the blood of Jesus Christ. And gang, when you begin to really see that in this there is such impact and there is such influence that we can have, that we just don't come to a place to just have this, well, it's just this private thing and I don't want anyone to know about it. Well, Jesus says, listen, you took that light and you put a basket over it and you just hit it and it's absolutely useless. So here in this amazing teaching, in this parable, Jesus gives this incredible word picture to the church. He says, you are supposed to be so bright and such light that it is as a light that sits on top of a hill for all to see. Come on, Ephesians 5, please. And you come to a place to see this right here. Ephesians 5, verse 8 and 9. Now look at this. Come on. For you were formerly darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists of all goodness, righteousness, and truth. Listen, when you understand that seed falls on good soil, And in that, it holds fast, and in that, it produces fruit. Well, a part of that fruit, when we understand, listen, now that I'm a light, I'm not going to hide my light. I'm going to come to a place to walk in not being contaminated. I'm going to look at sin, hate sin, do everything I can to stand in the way of sin. And then I'm going to come to a place to say, man, I am a light. I once understood. Look at what it says in Ephesians 5. I once understood what it was to walk in darkness. I once understood what it was to be lost. I once understood what it was to be hopeless. I once understood to have no idea what would take place. If I breathed my last in darkness, I was damnation for all of eternity. And man, when you come to Christ, you recognize there once was a former manner of life. There once was darkness in my life. And then Jesus, who is light, came into my life. And in that, now I bear His light, and I am light to the world. Gang, when you understand all that, and I don't get this, when someone truly understands the depth of salvation, when truly someone understands the depth of their sin and what took place, and the result thereof is eternal life in the presence of God for all eternity for heaven, compared to the alternative, which of man, if I never claim Christ as King, and I breathe my last, I'm separate from Him for an eternity. Okay, when you truly get it, when you really understand, man, this is me right here, Ephesians 5, 8. Man, I once was formerly in darkness. I once was so lost. I once did my own thing. I walked my own way. I walked in my own sin. Acknowledging that I can do it any way I want. I don't need God. I don't need Jesus. And I once walked in darkness. That's who I once was. And then Jesus. He says, but now. Look at this. But now I am light. Let me ask you a question again. And where are you in this? How's your influence? Do you have impact on the people around you? Do you have influence on the people around you, folks? And I was full-time in the police. They knew, man. When they started telling their filth stories, they knew. Man, Sean's just not going to put up with it. Sean's just, he's just leaving the room. I'm not going to put up with that. I don't need to hear your filth stories. I don't care what you did last Friday night with so-and-so. That ain't, I don't care about your filthy mouth. And anyway, man, they knew. Not on my watch, man. I'm out. But it's amazing that when you understand in the midst of that, though, they recognize something. People in your home, people in your family, people in your workplace, people in your neighborhood. When something goes desperately wrong, what happens when you've had the influence that Christ has called us to have? All of a sudden, they go to those who have light. Those who are in the darkness, those who are hopeless, those who are broken, those who have in a season of life that they just don't understand, when you've come to a place to say that, listen, when they see such light in you and they see, they understand, man, you've gone through a difficult time. And you, man, what happened? How did you get through this? What is going on? How can you still function? Then we get this, man, I was once walked in darkness, but Jesus in my life, now I am in the light. And in that, folks, there is such incredible influence. When God calls you and I to be difference makers, you know, the real check is how much influence am I really having? Am I really making an impact on my home as dad? Am I really making an impact on my children as mom? Am I really making that influence? Am I making an impact or an influence in my workplace? Am I making an impact or an influence in my community? Because Jesus says you're called to that. It's not something that you do, folks. It's who you are. It's who we are. We are to appear as lights to the world. That's who we are. And you come and look at this. When you understand, man, I had that story of being in darkness. But now, man, I am in light of the Lord. Walk as children of light. And in that, the fruit of the light is this. Here's the test. It's goodness. What goodness means, through good deeds. Goodness means just a sincere love for people. That's what that means. Just a sincere love for mankind. Does your heart break for those who are broken? Do you come to a place to weep for those who are so hurting, folks? You come to understand what righteousness means. It means you act in such a way that is right, based on what God says is right, by His standards. That's what righteousness means. Right according to what God says is right. That's a part of the fruit of those who understand what it is to be light. And he said, part of the fruit is truth. Truth is to be everything to be removed that is a falsehood, and then you have truth. Can you please hear this, man? As a church, this is what we're called to. As a church, to have the greatest impact in this region, this is who we are. We are salt. We are light. We are to come to a place to see sin and hate sin. We're to come to a place to see sin and corruption and hate it, to stand in the way of it. We're to come to a place to recognize in the midst of darkness, God says that I'm supposed to be the light. I'm supposed to be there in a place of influence. And could you imagine, please hear this, could you imagine if we took the, 400 people that are here today, and every one of us understood this position, just on our own, in our own little influence, in our own little worlds that we live in the people that we have, the impact and the people around us, whether it be at home, neighborhood, or work, or family, wherever it would, could you imagine that, 400 people, I'm just scattered all throughout this region, walking in a place of salt and light. And then could you imagine the power and the impact of a church, Believer's Chapel, who comes to a place to walk in such a sense, we need to win this region. We need to go after these. We need to walk in such a way that we have such a love for people and such a care for people and such a hatred for sin and such a love for God that we walk in a place that I don't want to be contaminated. I'm not going to let sin in. I'm going to walk in a great reverence and fear of God and a hatred for sin. And then I'm going to walk into a place knowing that, man, I was once formerly in darkness, but Christ came in and now I am made light in him. And here's the fruit of that light, that we can have such a huge, huge impact and influence here in this region. Folks, that's the parable. That's what he's teaching. The master teacher says, this is your purpose and this is your influence. This is who you're called to be. This is who you are in Christ. Come on, let's bow our heads, please. So church, where are we in this, man? Honestly, where can we put ourselves in this story that Jesus tells? Man, if we've come to a place to recognize what it is to be contaminated. Man, I once was bold against sin. Man, I once hated sin in my life. Man, I made such a difference at one point. Man, it felt good to walk right with God. It felt good to stand against sin. But man, sin has crept in. And I feel contaminated, man. I feel like I have become useless. Isn't it amazing that God, even in his compassion and his love for you and I, says, man, if you would confess, this to the church, if you would come to a place to confess your sin, he is faithful and just. He is righteous to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Gang, that's to the church. 1 John 1, that's written to the children of God. That belongs to us. And in that we recognize, man, there's freedom in this. And that you would sincerely come to a place. The Bible says again in Acts 3:19, repent and return. Man, when we come to a place to repent and return and come to a place to acknowledge our sin, then the Bible says there are times of refreshing in the presence of the Lord. What about your light, folks? If you've really come to a place to know Christ as Lord and Savior, where's your influence in your own little impacting world? Where's your influence in those that are around you? Where's your influence in those who know your name? Where's your influence there? I got to tell you, man, last night I was at a baseball game and I was just walking around the stadium. And I was so convicted last night. Because here I see all these people that I know from past. So convicted, like man, God, have I made any influence on these people at all? got here, they come up and they say hi, and they, it would, you know, but God, for an eternity, God, have I made any impact on them at all? In my relationship with you, knowing the condition of some of their heart, God, have I done anything of influence? I tell you what, I was broken. And here, I've prepared this for today. My God, this is for me. God, I don't care if they know my name, but God, I want them to know you. God, I want them to know your name. God, I want to be that salt. God, I want to be that light that you've called me to be. God, if I'm walking right with you, I am salt and I am light. And in that, we automatically become influence in darkness. Light doesn't have to work at it, folks. Light just always repels darkness, always. Light doesn't have to work and squeeze out some light to repel darkness. As soon as you hit the light, darkness goes. Can't you understand this? That God's called you personally to have such an impact here. And God's called this church to have such an impact on those that He loves so dearly here in this, that are so broken and hurting. Now, if you're in this place this morning, man, do you know Christ? Can you declare that I'm a child of God? Can you declare that this morning? Can you really come to grips, not by based on anything except for Jesus Christ? Jesus died for me. Jesus died, and he took the hit, and Jesus bare my sin on that cross, and on 3 days He rose again in absolute complete victory, and I have no fear of death. I have no shame. I have no conviction because of Jesus, because what Jesus did. I know that, and in Jesus, I'm a child of God. Is that your faith? Is that your testimony? Are you in this place this morning and you still know what it is to walk in darkness? Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Nobody comes to the Father except for me. Jesus made it abundantly clear without debate. Jesus, there is only one way, and it's only through Jesus. That's it. Christ is it. If you haven't called the name of Jesus for salvation, then we're still in darkness. Jesus said, listen, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. All of us have sinned. It's come to a place to repent. It's come to a place to acknowledge sin. It's come to a place to recognize what Jesus did for me. God loved me. God had such a key. He knows me and He loves me. And God did such a work for me through Jesus that I can come to know Him, that I can be forever saved, redeemed, bought back, paid for, that my sins will be forgiven. Yes, that's what God did for you through Jesus Christ, His Son. And in you making a decision to say, man, my sin has cost me separation from God. But Jesus on the cross, He bridged that gap for me so that my relationship with Him can be restored. It's called reconciliation. Father, we just ask this morning in this place, God, for those of us who truly come to a place to know You, have called on the name of Jesus for salvation, recognize we were once lost, but now we are saved because of the work of the cross. God, that in this we'd recognize our purpose. We'd recognize our influence from one of the greatest teachers of all time in Jesus, Your own Son. God, this morning, for those who may be here that don't know You, maybe an invited guest, someone who's been coming a short time, God, that this morning they come to a place to recognize, I need Jesus. I need Jesus. I need Jesus. Jesus, You're the only way. I've tried this, I've tried that, I've tried. Jesus, You're the only way. You're the only way. Jesus, You're it. That this morning you would come to a place, the Bible says, to confess Jesus as Lord. And that simply means You are Lord, You are Master, You are Supreme. I submit myself, I put myself under You. Jesus, You died for me in my place, that I could be forgiven, that I could be free, that I could be paid for, that I could be bought back, that I could come to relationship with God. Jesus, I confess that You are Lord. That'd be you this morning, that you come to a place, say, God, I recognize I'm in darkness, but I need the light. And Jesus, You said that You are the light to the world. And I call on your name this morning. I repent from my sin. I recognize sin has caused me separation. And I turn from it. I change my mind towards sin. And I turn towards you. And I ask God for you to forgive me. Forgive me of my sin today. Jesus, you're a Lord. Jesus, you're a Lord of my life. I acknowledge you this morning.